Good day, it's the Little Aussie Battler Podcast. I'm your host, Scotty. It's Thursday, September 3rd. Better to burp it than to slurp it. Oh God, that sucks.
It's not just ruined, it's me, Big Fatty, online.
Well, hello everyone, it is the Fat One, and this is episode 413 of the BFO for Thursday, the 3rd of September 2009. Y'all, coming up on today's show, Big Fatty is going to catch up on a couple more little e-letters. Plus, Big Fatty has got something special to talk about that he saw on the 20. On the 20! Oh, Lord. Hi, everyone. I hope your Thursday is going well. Y'all, hump day went pretty well for the Fat One over at the coal mine. And, wow, that was kind of came in waves there. Y'all, the highlight of the day is Larry Clyde went to lunch and he brought Big Fatty a big old chocolate brownie back from the coffee shop. And y'all, if you live in Amsterdam, coffee shop means something very different than it does in South Kakalaki. Let me just tell you that. And Miss Kitty knows about... Ooh! Maybe I shouldn't say anything more about that. But y'all, don't really have a whole lot to talk about. I will say that I am catching up on some podcasts, because y'all, you know, when Big Fatty was at the horror, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, he did not listen to a single fucking podcast while he was over there. But unlike Archer, if I don't have anything to say, I'm still doing a 20-minute show. But so I'm catching up. Y'all, I caught up on that Rachel Maddow, which is not to be confused with Rachel Not Maddow, who was the only person to send Big Fatty a used Christmas card last Christmas. But anyway, caught up on that, and y'all, she had that Tom Ridge on her show. And y'all, I'm talking a little politics here, so Larkin will continue to listen. Anyway, she had him on there, and y'all, she was kind of getting at him, snappy. She was a little snappy at him. So, anyway, y'all, and somebody else who has been away for quite a while includes that Stevie B, y'all, and he dropped Big Fatty an e-letter, because y'all, he has been at the beach. He has been at the beach, and you know, he wasn't listening to... I cannot listen to the podcast when I'm at the beach. But he wrote to me, and he says, "Oh, great Fat One. I was on vacation for the last 2 weeks and was unable to keep up with podcasts, but I'm making up for that now. And let me make several observations. First, the Pineapple Princess is one of my favorite songs of all time, and it has been on every iPod I've ever owned." Now, you know, Stevie B loves the Pineapple Princess, and so does that DJ David J. "Second of all, thanks for bringing up the savings stamp program. We had that, too, in small town Iowa in the 1950s. You know, that's when Big Fatty was growing up, too. But I wasn't in small town Iowa. I was in Atlanta. Every couple of weeks, the stamp ladies would show up in class, and we would buy our dime or quarter stamps and paste them into our little folders until we got 1825 or 1875 or whatever it was to get a $25 savings bond. Thirdly, the weekly reader was a highlight of the week all through the early years of grade school." And y'all, that's what they used to call it, was grade school. It wasn't elementary school. It was grade school. "I got the summer subscription a time or two as well, and one of my favorites was when I was in second grade and Alaska became a state. The weekly reader showed a number of possible flag designs to accommodate the 49 stars, and we were all terribly disappointed when they went for 7 rows of 7 stars instead of some of the more interesting patterns. And fourth, I want the burp ringtone extended version." Okay. And y'all, told me that also that that Denny, his friend Denny, came down from New York, and he was at the beach for the second read there, and he was slutting. Oh, maybe I shouldn't read that part. Ooh, but Denny don't listen, so that's okay. And then he sent me a picture. And Stevie B, that is indeed the person that I know. So anyway, we do have a mutual friend, y'all, and so there you have it. And Stevie B, I don't know if I was supposed to read that on the air or not, but I enjoyed that. And I will be sending you the extended version of the BFO ringtone. Now, y'all, I've not heard from Abusive Cunt because, you know, Abusive Cunt wants to follow me on the Twitter. But, y'all, I got a very interesting, this is the first time I've gotten one of these. I got a very interesting direct message from porn star Michael Brandon, and because he is a honorary member of the horror group, y'all. He is an honorary member, and if you don't know who Michael Brandon is, just goggle him, and y'all, you will see Michael and Monster, who is his gigantic penis, and y'all, he wants to be one of Big Fatty's top friends, and he wants me to be one of his top 140 friends. Now, y'all, I don't know what this fave 140 is. Is this something new to the Twitty? And so I don't know. I just don't know. But y'all, it's telling me to be patient while it loads all my friends. But y'all, I don't have any friends in my top 140, so it shouldn't take any time to load it. But y'all, I can guarantee you, I am going to approve Michael Brandon to be one of my top 140 friends. And y'all, he's already added me to his top friends list. So I don't know what this is, but needless to say, I will make that a priority for Michael Brandon. You know, because it's Michael Brandon, y'all. Now, y'all, Perfetti down there in the Austins, he wrote to me, and he says, please do not read this on the show, so I'm going to read it to you. He says, but I also know that all correspondence to the BFO becomes property of the BFO, so I know you'll do with it what you wish. But, y'all, he was curious about the families that the horror group adopts, like we did last Christmas. He was particularly in the South Carolinas, where it is substantially more conservative than elsewhere, how do they respond to the generosity of the horror group? Have you ever experienced a situation where they say thanks but no thanks? Or are they families that y'all know in advance that won't be horrified by your group? It's a wonderful thing y'all do. Just wondering how well it is received. And this past Christmas was the first time we had adopted a family at Christmas time. And one of the members of the horror group did indeed know the mother of this family, and she used to work with her, and so she knew that she had been laid off and all this kind of stuff, and knew about the family situation and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, then Perfetti was all worried that we showed up in the horror outfits, y'all. And, you know, and he, but, you know, I calmed him down. I told him that we did not show up in the horror outfits. And, you know, but he wasn't sure if we had butt plugs in. And I told him, you know, I said, you know, you can wear a Sunday go to meeting clothes and wear a butt plug. In fact, how do you know that your minister standing up there behind the lectern, the podium, how do you know he didn't have a butt plug in? He might have one of those ass bangers. I don't know. So, Perfetti, thank you for asking that question, because I'm sure that that had entered other people's minds as well. Now, y'all, Stephen the Uck would like to call out the trucker, y'all. And he did that over at the BFO. And y'all, if you would like to call out the trucker or anyone else, you can just go over to the BFO as well. Unless you've got a complaint. And all complaints are to be sent to Post Office Box 561, Woodland Hills, California, 91365. That is the central clearinghouse for all gay podcast complaints. So, please. But anyway, Stephen the Uck says, sometimes I am just a cruel, y'all, he said cruel, podcast listener. And he says that the Dragon's Den originated in not Canada and not the UK, but, wait for it, in Japan. And then he sent Big Fatty the wiki link for that. And he was sorry to burst the bubble, but he was popping it with my big thing. Ooh. Okay, Stephen the Uck, you can pop it with your big thing anytime, and it doesn't even have to be a bubble. Ooh. And y'all, he also thought, he knew it didn't start in Canada, y'all. And you know that trucker, you know those Canadians, you know, they're either Sky Mattresses or, you know, they ride the short bus or something like that. But anyway, he thought that it originated in the Uck. And it didn't. It originated in Japan, so it was a learning experience for Stephen the Uck as well. And y'all, he said he had problems posting it, but y'all, it posted without a problem. So anyway, and y'all, he's also sent me a song, but I'm going to save that for another show. Y'all, I'm still waiting for all my friends to load, and it's just taking forever, fucking ever, just fucking ever. But y'all, I wanted to talk about something that I saw on the Twitty. Y'all, I'm getting the double ones today. I don't know why, and I hadn't even had the chocolate brownie yet. But I don't know if I'm giving the proper credit to the proper person here, but it's my understanding that the Gravitas, who only listens to the BFO when he's doing his laundry. When he's washing his underpants, y'all, that's when he listens to the BFO. So if you hear the BFO coming out of his earphones, he's washing his underpants. Regardless of what he's actually doing, that's what we're going with. Washing the underpants, okay? And who knew that the Gravitas even wore underpants? But anyway, y'all, they were talking about what were some of your favorite childhood games and toys. And they were talking, Fairy Princess Holly hated she wanted some kind of baby doll that would shit all over itself. And she ended up getting the Hungry Hungry Hippos. And Miss Wes, I don't remember what Miss Wes said that she had, but somebody was asking about the Stretch Armstrong. And y'all, these are all things that came. Oh, Miss Wes was scared of the Operation game. You know, remove wrenched ankle. And, you know, frightening. It would frighten him, y'all. It would just frighten him. But, y'all, there were three toys. There were lots of toys that Big Fatty had when he was growing up. Y'all, but I'm going to tell you, in my day, if you didn't have a bicycle, you didn't have shit. Because most everything you did was on your bicycle. And, I mean, y'all, you could go all kinds of places on your bicycle, and as long as you were home in time for supper, that's all that mattered. And because, you know, the latch string would be out and the dog would be tied up. And y'all, I want to play two. Well, let me tell you about the one. No, I'm going to play you one of the commercials of one of Big Fatty's favorite toys as a child.
G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe, fighting man from head to toe, on the land, on the sea, in the air.
G.I. Joe attack! Go, go! G.I. Joe, take bail! Bam, bam! Terrific battle!
Terrific equipment to have a battle with. When you get G.I. Joe and the authentic G.I. Joe equipment, you'll have the greatest realism, the greatest fun you ever had in playing soldier. Box after box of authentic uniforms and equipment, so you can change your G.I. Joe soldier into a camouflage Marine ready for battle, a Navy frogman with complete scuba suit and inflatable life raft, an Air Force pilot with high-altitude helmet and air vest. Get G.I. Joe and get G.I. Joe equipment so you can set up exciting battle action whenever you want. Remember, only G.I. Joe is G.I. Joe.
Now, y'all, Big Fatty had G.I. Joes and would collect all the different outfits. There was a Milton Bradley store over near the Belvedere Shopping Plaza in Atlanta. And, you know, Frank from Atlanta, who has unsubscribed, y'all. And Adam Neutron,
who doesn't listen anymore because he never sends Big Fatty a message. Yeah, they've all unsubscribed. And Terminally Single Tim, they're gone. They're all gone. Nobody in Atlanta listens anymore, y'all. But anyway, G.I. Joe, there was a Milton Bradley store in the Belvedere Shopping Plaza. And we would go in there, and they'd have all the different G.I. Joe outfits. And, y'all, there was a Dress Blues outfit for him to be a Marine. And I always used to think, oh, that would be so hot on G.I. Joe. But, y'all, G.I. Joe was like the height of a Barbie. It was like a foot tall. And, y'all, he had a scar. He had a scar on his face. And, you know, as time passed, you know, they would add accessories and Jeeps and tents and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, there were always small pieces in all these outfits and all that. It could be a choking hazard, but, y'all, we didn't choke on things back then. Nowadays, they fucking choke on everything, okay? They just fucking choke on everything. But anyway, the G.I. Joe, at some point, they introduced a G.I. Joe, and y'all, he had a beard. He had a beard, and I swear to God, y'all, he looked like Ed Bradley from the 60 Minutes. Now, Ed Bradley is dead now, so he looked better than Ed Bradley right now. But back when Ed Bradley had the beard, and before he had those ear bobs, G.I. Joe looked like Ed Bradley. Okay, now y'all, here is the commercial from the second toy that Big Fatty really enjoyed.
Mousetrap! Mousetrap, the wildest, funniest game you've ever seen.
Mousetrap!
Catch the mouse, that's half the fun. But there's even more to playing Mousetrap game. Here's where the fun begins. Move two spaces, one, two. Start building the mousetrap. Race your mouse around the board, building a mousetrap as you go. Then comes the funniest part of Mousetrap game. Why don't you get
Mousetrap?
Mousetrap, the nuttiest, funniest game you've ever seen. It's a wonderful game. It's ideal.
Now, y'all, Mousetrap, if you were a child of the 50s and 60s, you played Mousetrap. Y'all, it came out in 1963, and it was for two or more players. And basically, you built this this game trap, you built this thing to catch mice. And y'all, in the proper operation of the game at the very end, here is the proper operation. The player turns the crank, which rotates a vertical gear connected to a horizontal gear. As that gear turns, it pushes an elastic-loaded lever, oh dear Gussie, until it snaps back into place, hitting a swinging boot. This causes the boot to kick over a bucket, sending a marble down a zigzagged incline, which feeds into a chute. This leads to the marble hitting a vertical pole, at the top of which is an open hand palm, which is supported by a larger bob. The movement of the pole knocks the ball free to fall through a hole in the platform into a bathtub, and then through a hole in the tub at one end of a seesaw. This catapults a diver on the other end into a tub, which is on the same base as a barbed wire pole supporting the mouse cage, and the movement over the tub shakes the cage free from the top, and the pole allows it to fall. And that's how you caught the mouse, y'all. Big Fatty loved G.I. Joe and the Mousetrap, and if you didn't, that's right.
You can leave a comment on the website at bigfattyonline.com, and you don't have to use the www, or drop me an e-letter at ruined@bigfattyonline.com, or call the voice letter number at 206-337-1438. That's 206-337-1438, and give me your good gosh and gay. Me! This has been a presentation of the RNL Podcasting Network.